So how is your week and what's on your mind?
I think the week was okay. I guess what's on my mind, and I've been talking sort of with Johnny about it a little bit this morning, is I've really trying to dial in this calendar, because I've been traveling a lot, and I've feel like I've gotten sort of off. So I'm trying to get back on track very quickly. Is what I'm trying to do.
Good.
I think that was one of our calls, right? It's
Yeah.
not about whether you get off track, it's how quickly do you get back on track.
Right.
So that's what I've been, I was kind of relying on, somebody else figuring out the tool and that kind of stuff, but I'm trying to do it myself now.
Well,
And so
you really need that person that's going to run things for you, though.
yeah, no doubt.
To be very efficient, more efficient than you are. I don't know. If you can't get that, then you got to do it yourself, but yourself is the last. You don't want to do that. I mean, you got to do it to get it done sometimes, but if it weren't for Cindy, we wouldn't have Supernova. I'm either get a good person to run it or I'm out of business.
Yeah, I'm close. I've been working on what you and I talked about as far as with staffing, and so we're getting closer to getting some of this figured out around here.
Yeah, you gotta have people.
But it's not
You
perfect.
gotta have that person that Mary. My whole life it's been, having a fabulous sales assistant or I die. And at work I had a wonderful manager's assistant that was with me for 25 years, and she just between she and Marcia, they ran my entire life. Nothing. I didn't do anything. Nothing. Except work. And it's just, I coach the kids and games and things like that, but other than that, it was no lawn mowing, nothing. 100% free to run my practice, and Mary Ann kept me on track to run the practice and the business the way it should be run, and made it possible for an ADD kid who is all over the place to be a successful district director and run a great business. Otherwise, no chance. None.
Well, so you're saying there's hope. I like it.
Yeah. There is, yeah, but you've got to be, you got, you know.
And that's been the toughest thing, Rob. I'll tell you what. But Johnny seems to have it down, so we're going to meet with it, tomorrow when he gets in here, and just run through what I've done. And I've got some clients that are, well, I mean, some clients who are absolutely dependent on it. As it's coming up, they're keying me and, okay, we're meeting this date, right? Yep, we are, and they're ahead of it. And then some of them are, they're oblivious to it still.
That's okay. That's a training issue.
Yeah, but we're getting there. But that's mainly what's been on my mind. It's just I feel a lot more in control when I've got my calls scheduled and I've got my week scheduled. So as I ran into last week and this week, I've felt like I'm scrambling, so I'm trying to get that out of the way. I like being better in control, because then when you get the markets doing their thing and that kind of stuff, you know who you've talked to, and
Right.
you've got a plan. So.
Yeah. And you can. Are you a golfer?
I'm not a golfer. I'm a cyclist and a runner. Those two.
Oh, we had the Tour de France this week.
I know, I watched every stage.
Did you?
The summaries. I watched, the way that NBC did it was they did the 30, it was essentially like 20 to 40 minute recaps, but they also did an 8 minute summary. So on the days that I had time at the end of the day, at the end of the evening, I would watch the 20 to 40 minute summary. And then the other days I would catch the 8 minute update. And it was very quick, but it keeps you from falling asleep, you know, because cycling can be awfully boring too.
Yeah.
But now I have played golf, Rob. I've played my whole life up until about maybe 15 years ago when I started having back issues.
Yeah.
And I stopped playing.
Yeah. Well, I just bring it up because there was an interview with Colin Morikawa, who won the British Open or the Open, and his coach, has coached him since he was 8, and he's a sports psychologist. Now, when he became that, Dr. Rick Sesshenham, when he became that, I don't know, but they interviewed him and asked him, how can this kid, 24, be this mature and this, you know, just so organized and so ready and so good at this? And he said, well, you know, it was the normal stuff. It wasn't anything weird. You know, how does he handle stress? Well, we see it as excitement. We see it as a positive. How does he handle it when he misses a shot? Well, as long as we've done all the preparation, we've followed our rituals, and he's made good contact, then you don't worry about the wind and other things. The outcome is the outcome. You focus on the preparation and the execution. You know, it's like when you make a putt, if it doesn't go in, you still made the putt, you hit it where you wanted to. Maybe you read it wrong, but you execute brilliantly. And so you congratulate yourself. So it's really important not to be too hard on yourself when things do not go well, to forgive yourself and enjoy the experience rather than, always being down on yourself because you're not perfect. It was very in the 1% business, you know, we're getting better 1% at a time. Just every day we get a little bit better in our practice routine, in our focus, in our targeting. He said, so what did you see in watching him that you were proud of and that you thought he did very well? And it was, he really stayed in the moment. He focused on the target. You know, he maintained his rituals and he maintained his rhythm, right? And he said, as long as he does that, just make sure you focus on the takeaway, get it started right, then you're going to have a good ball strike. He adjusted really well to the conditions, which weren't bad conditions, but the greens were very slow. So you had to smack the ball and you go from a 12 and a half stent meter to a 10 or something on those furry greens. It can mess people up. Half the field was leaving everything short and it just messes you up. And I just thought to myself, you know, it just applies so much to us. That it's all about the rituals. It's all about the routine. It's all about the preparation. If you don't prepare for the day, if you don't have your folders ready, if you don't have your, you know, the appointment scheduled, if you didn't prepare for each appointment, then it's going to be a hectic day. If you did, it's just, you know, it's playing one hole at a time, concentrating on helping the client, listening to the client, focusing on what's best for them, then it's a great day, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like those days.
And you score.
That's what we strive for. That's right.
Yeah, every day should be that. But, you know, it's like, but you got to have the right caddy. His caddy is awesome, right? If you don't have the right caddy, it doesn't work. You got the right sports psychologist here.
That's right. I'm thankful for that sports psychologist.
But you got to have the right caddy. So fix that. If you need help on that, happy to do it. But that's critical. And then it's just, you know, because it all sort of builds around that calendar, right? Everything that you do, all our acquisition strategies are built around the calendar. If you don't have the calendar set up, then you're not going to have your meetings with your centers of influence. You're not going to have your mastermind group. You're not going to have your social prospecting, your LinkedIn time. You're not going to have time for, you know, boards of directors and all of that. Everything is around the calendar, everything around the rituals, everything around, for me, everything around the folders. And then targeting. And what is our target? What's our purpose in every call? What's our purpose? We're making a call. What's our purpose? What are we going to get out of this? What is the client going to get out of this? What's our next steps? I was just thinking about it. In my golf, do I always pick a target and shoot at it like I would a bow and arrow? No. I tend to pick an area to hit to. No, you should be picking an exact target. And the more focused that target, the better the outcome. So I learned from that, that interview. And so that, to me, that was very helpful.
Yeah, I'll go pull it out. I bet I can find it on YouTube.
It was on the golf, you know, they have a, on Sirius, Channel 92, they follow, golf. And so it would be an audio, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I like to hear that.
I'm always interested in the psychology of the game. And the psychology, because it translates so much. So much of what I teach is based on Jim Lehrer and the psychology of sports and the powerful engagement, what he taught me there, and the ritualization of everything that we do. Instead of using discipline, you use rituals. And those rituals all move you in a direction.
Yeah, well, it's definitely helped me. It's helped me a lot with running, that powerful engagement. You know, and from a athletic standpoint, for sure. And then hopefully it translates, everything kind of translates one to another is what I believe. Yeah. Cause you can't run one day and go run a 10K or a marathon, right? I mean, you gotta build up to it.
Incremental,
little by little.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I'm working on cycling now too. So, got a big ride coming up the end of September. That'll be fun.
100? That's or 50 or what is it?
It's about 106 miles. It's that, it's called Six Gap.
Wow.
Six Gap ride in North Georgia. Mm-hmm.
Hilly?
Yeah. It's about 12,000 feet of climbing.
Wow.
Over six mountain peaks. Yeah. And in Columbus, Georgia, we don't have a lot of mountains. So, but you have to, it's really good. Actually, all of these things are good as far as discipline to keep yourself focused, and you have to focus on expanding. You always have to focus on expanding your reach, you know, mm-hmm. because of your lung capacity, your leg capacity, and then manage all the symptoms that go along with those things and the maintenance that go along with it, whether it's hydration or controlling cramps or, you know, mm-hmm. just having the aerobic fitness to do it, you know, and then having the equipment, you know, to do it, having the coaching and you have to have it every day. I mean, you have to do a little bit of something, whether it's rest, and rest is part of it too.
Right. Recovery. Ideal recovery state. Right.
Mm-hmm.
To have so ideal
it's a great reminder.
State. Yeah. In order to have ideal performance state, you have to have ideal recovery state.
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I've liked the Jim Lehrer, and it's funny that I even took it home this weekend to glance back through some of the book to pick up some things, because it's helpful to remind yourself. But I think that's what the athletic stuff does. It reminds me of a lot of that just translates, whether it's money, whether it's, I had a conversation with a client who I discovered was a big runner. I didn't realize what a big runner he was. And as the more we talked about it, we started talking about how, you know, the discipline it takes to be a good runner and a distance runner and then a fast distance runner, you know, how different they are, but how so much of that translates, you know, you can translate the same things back to money, savings, discipline, you know, and the focus on the long term, that it's not immediate gratification. It's all these things. Anyway, it was a great conversation, different than the ones we normally have. But anyway.
Well, that's depth of relationship, see? From now on, whenever you talk, you're going to talk in that analogy. Mm-hmm. It's a built-in analogy conversation for you, so that you've connected.
You know, yeah, we definitely connected. Yeah.
You've connected at a deeper level, and those things aren't available without the 12-4-2s, see?
Right.
You don't have time. They call, they got an issue, you fix it, you're done, right? You call them, you want to sell them something, they say yes, you're done. 12-4-2 is not about either. It's not about a problem, and it's not about you selling them something. It's about us and our relationship and you and your family. Mm-hmm. And helping you reach
your goals. That's huge.
Right?
Yeah.
It changes the dynamics of the whole relationship. And so they just open up, and now you've got, now in 2 minutes, you can reconnect with him on a level that's back to that deep level. And now you can just go for it. You can go wherever you need to go.
Well, and Johnny's learning that too. He's, I think he's, as far as his class and things like that, he's been able, because of Supernova, he's been able to position himself ahead of, you know, a lot of the folks, especially that are in his class, you know, so he's getting the benefit of it right off the bat.
That's great, Johnny. Tell me about that.
Well, I think the big thing is a lot of the folks, kind of like you said, they're kind of chasing after the problem. So they get the client, and a lot of them are working on teams, so they're kind of being thrown into the deep end with existing relationships. And not really doing too much of new business generation, at least not yet. And so for me, being able to focus on new business generation, as Derek kind of introduces me to clients on a strategic basis, but also being able to help set up that initial, here's my service model, and here's what differentiates me from all the other financial advisors in Columbus and Atlanta and whoever else you're working with. Really, that's what I'm finding the biggest success for is being able to clearly explain the service model, being able to clearly explain the benefits for the clients. And that's generated a lot more conversations, referrals, and getting folks signed up. And so I've got several of the training folks that have asked me kind of, what am I doing that's a little bit different?
Make sure that you also tie in your investment process and that attention to detail and that consistency of the investment process with the service model. There's a lot of good analogies there, a lot of good symbiotic relationships between Supernova and your investment process. That you're consistent, you know, that it isn't just, I'm going to buy one fund and leave it alone and let them manage it. You're going to be looking at their situation, adding dollar cost averaging over time, good markets and bad, reinvesting dividends when you can, when the markets are low, things like that, that are consistently adding a little bit of alpha, if you may, you know, just by managing the money properly and not just letting it ride. You know, you're being prudent about where the money goes, thoughtful, looking at the client, their situation, anticipating needs that they have in terms of borrowing needs and spending needs. And at the same time, you're you know, getting them to save a disproportionate amount of their income and not buy that, you know, that Porsche too soon, you know, try and get them to use the money prudently, compound, and then buy the Porsche. I mean,
exactly.
We don't say enough about that. You know, the personal relationship in terms of prudently managing money. I just had a conversation with an FA before you guys who's really good at what he does. And he has a client that sold out in March and hasn't gotten back in, and it's $7 million, and he won't listen, and he won't, you know, it's just those things that where you just, for one reason or another, this person did not have enough confidence in his financial advisor to lean on him when things got bad.
Yeah.
And by the way, this financial advisor had bought him puts. And bought
this
a
was
lot
in March of 20?
March of 20, and bought him a lot of puts. And he said, well, that was just luck. And my buddy goes, my client goes, are you kidding me?
Wow. You know?
Yeah. So he's going to fire the client. And I'm all in. I think that's great. Because just because somebody has $7 million doesn't make them a good client. It just means that they have $7 million. You know, and we talk about this customer versus client, right? A customer is somebody that buys things from you, right? Like you're a,
yeah.
You know, you work for JCPenney or something, right? A client is somebody that you've done a financial plan. They're in the 12-4-2 model. They listen to you. They trust you. And they pay a fee.
That's right. And I was just thinking, Rob, this is a great story. So this is my client. He just rang the bell, the New York Stock Exchange this morning.
Wow.
And I was the first text that he got congratulating him for ringing the bell. Then he sent me pictures of it. I'm like, you know, my celebrity friend. And you know what? I've never met the man face to face.
That's unbelievable.
Hard to believe. Yeah, he's got, what does he have? $6 million or so with me, something like that right now. But,
so what was the client? What, was it a new issue or?
They moved from the NASDAQ to the NYSE. It was Builders First Source.
What is it?
He's just a great guy. What is Builders First Source?
Uh-huh.
They're a building supply company. So my client started a lumber supply business back 30 years ago, something like that. It's been forever ago. And then he sold that business to Home Depot. And then he went to work for Home Depot managing and kind of working his way up from that purchase, from that sale. And then they I don't know if you remember, Home Depot did a supply business. And I think they spun that out. It was like Home Depot Supply. Mm-hmm. And that was bought by another company. And I really can't even recall the name of that company. But that was a – they did like a – it ended up being like a leverage buyout, you know, one of these things that did not go so well. Anyway, it ended up going into a company that eventually merged with Builders First Source, and he became an insider – about 9 months ago with the company, and they're killing it. But now he calls me and complains about analyst ratings and that kind of stuff. And you know that
right.
And he said that his boss reacts a lot more to it. But anyway, he's a great guy. But we're friends. But he is, Johnny, that's the greatest story. I mean, is like they say, you know, you say, look, I think you should put $1 million here and do this with it. And he says, yeah, do it. Okay. Now let's go on to the next thing and we'll talk about this and whatever. And this is fantastic, fantastic relationship. So
it's a good story.
Yeah. Never questions fees, never anything, nothing. Just great, great, great
guy.
So
is he like chief financial officer?
Steve is, let me see, his name is Steve Heron. Let's look him up. He's the president of the Eastern Division. This is what he is.
Pretty good gig. Nice client.
Ah, great guy. Just a great guy.
No, probabilities of getting the rest of them.
What's that? The probabilities of getting the rest of the guys in the Builders First Source? You know, we haven't gotten that far yet. But
where did
that's
got
to be the next. So he was actually an inherited kind of orphaned client back. I mean, it's literally been 15 plus years ago. I mean, it must have been early 2000. Somebody departed and he wasn't worth the phone call, you know, to this guy. And he did not have much money with me. He, or with us, he maybe had, it was like $100,000, maybe $200,000, maybe. And, whatever, we just developed a relationship. And he was interesting because he wanted to buy a speculative penny stock. and I'm sure that's why the advisor at first didn't want him. He said, I want to buy this, whatever. I mean, multi-letter stocks. And it was, I think, 12 cents a share, or maybe even less than that. And he wanted to buy, like, maybe $30,000 worth or something. It was a pretty big number at the time for a little penny stock. So we did, and I did as much research as I could, which wasn't very much. And the stock ended up going to, like, 60 cents or something, and he sold. And then he went and he bought back some with his original capital. He kind of took that and he kept the profits. And but he I kept a consistent message with him, as you know, Steve, look, most of these fail, most of these are scams, most of these are, you know, this, that, and the whole way through. And they tried to get him to invest, become a kind of a private investor with the company, because they knew, you know, that he had money. And the guy who was doing this whole, what turned out to be kind of a scam, took him to play golf with him, and he got so excited about it. And he said he wants me to invest $250,000 or whatever in this, or $500,000. I mean, it was pretty significant. And I just, you know, I gave him the same line, and it was just, you know, most of these don't work out very well. And I told him a story about somebody playing, you know, if you think, I mean, I use the example of, I think at the time, WorldCom, you know, right. WorldCom was a big golf course stock. You know, a lot of the people around here were talking about their WorldCom profits. And I said, it just sort of reminds me of something like there's fishy, something fishy. Because why would they be asking you, you have to ask yourself that, why would they be asking you for this money, $250,000? I mean, it takes a lot more than $250,000 to run a deal. And he goes, you know, that's, you're right. And we went with what I said, and from then on, he's, you know, then the company ended up being a bust. You know, it went to nothing, and it was a scam and all that. But he got calls for months and months trying to get him to do something from the other side of the thing. But he and I have just been, we've just been perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I saved him.
I did. It doesn't always work out that way, but I mean, yeah, I would say 99% of the time it does with those penny stocks.
He would have been a victim on American greed.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. He's got a pretty good nose for bullshit, though, I think. But he wants that big score, too.
Right. That's the problem. See, greed. Mm-hmm. American greed. They don't call it, you know, Americans get taken. They call it American greed.
That's exactly right.
And so who's the greedy one? Is it the clients or is it the scammer?
Yeah.
It's the clients to me. They are always wanting, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, you know.
Right.
Compounding 12% on your money, you know.
Yeah.
I think we talked about the idea of introductions given and received full part of the folder. Did we talk about that?
We did. We have before, that we don't spend enough time on it. We don't, that it's become a lot, you know, we don't focus on it is, what we got out of from last month.
And the use of it, how do you make it so that you don't have to do anything? Did I give you that?
I don't think so.
It's sort of how to get introductions without asking. That's my theme on this particular little project. Because I'm frustrated because I have a million good ideas and I only measure my success on what is adopted, not on what my ideas. Right? Because if you don't adopt it, then it wasn't a good idea. It may have been a good idea for somebody else, but it wasn't for you.
Right.
So it didn't move your needle at all. It was no benefit to you. And as a consumer, you got to see a benefit or you're not going to want to keep buying the product. So the idea is we try and ritualize it enough. Johnny, you can help on this. So what you do is you have the page, introductions given and received, right? So on each name that's in there, you get an introduction. Let's say we get an introduction from our friend Steve here. Huron. We get an introduction from him to his boss. And we have the meeting and he opens the account. And then a year later, we call back, we don't make a separate call. On our regular 1242, on the agenda item, we put the date that they opened the relationship. So we have the date that that it was introduced, and then the date that was opened. The key is to put on the Outlook calendar the date that the account was opened. And then your assistant looks on the Outlook calendar for the month to see all of the introductions and anniversaries and puts those on the agenda for each client. So you don't have to do anything. You just look on the agenda and there's, you know, Steve Heron being introduced you to John Smith, and John Smith then is a client. So you call both of them that month. All right. But you wouldn't make a separate call. It'd be just part of your 1242. So you don't really have to do anything. That's the key to this. If it is.
Yeah, we did talk about some of we did talk about using the anniversary. We updated our page, you know, to include that.
But this piece is key, is that you don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, Johnny, why that is different?
That is,
you put it on the Outlook calendar, then your assistant then puts it on the agenda for the month. And then when you make your you don't even have to make another call. It's just when you make your regular 1242, you then say, thanks, you know, it's the 1 year anniversary of when you referred me to Johnny Smith, and I just wanted to thank you and tell you how much that means to me. And he goes, I got another guy for you. You see, that's the key. We're going to raise our probabilities from zero to maybe 20% chance of him saying, I got another guy for you. Mm-hmm. And then when you call Steve, you say, you just simply say, thanks a million for the introduction. Or you already called Steve and thanked him for the introduction. And then you call the other guy and say, thanks for opening the account. This is the anniversary. I just wanted to call and tell you how much we appreciate the relationship. And frankly, I'll be doing this every year. He goes, wow, that's amazing. Thank you. I've got another guy for you. You see, both of them, you've raised the probabilities of them introducing you to someone else because you've made them happy.
Yeah.
Make people happy. So you want to consistently make people happy, so you'll do it. But for me, if you don't use it, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
That's not, I'm kicking myself that I haven't reached out into Steve's network at this point, but anyway, he's got a whole brand new network now too.
Right. So. He's got a big, big network. And he trusts you. And that's the most important thing. So we raise what we're just doing. And at the end, you can just say, hey, by the way, just don't keep me a secret. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. You don't have to be any more aggressive than that. And to me, if you did that every month, you know, you're going to be probably making 20 calls every month, or that's going to be part of your calls 20 times. You're going to be getting more introductions than you would have gotten otherwise.
Absolutely.
So you're just raising your probabilities. That's all. It costs you zero. I didn't say, you know, you got to buy this exotic wine and do all the research on what wine he likes and send him a case. And no, just thank him.
Man, he's big into gratitude. So I'm all right. I'm going to do this. I'm trying to highlight it. I'm trying to check it. I'm trying to do everything I can so I can put it on here. So Johnny,
you're in charge.
Make sure that this gets added.
All right.
And gets executed on.
So we're going to have a couple good stories from this. That's the key, right? And remember, progress is incremental. We're going to get better 1% every day. That's all. Just don't worry about, we're not going to make huge increments, just a little better every day. Just don't fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just keep moving forward. Keep getting better and better and better and better. 1% a day, that's 5% a week.
It's exponential.
Right. That's the fun.
All right.
All right. And remember, learning is remembering. According to Plato. So when you're trying to coach your guys there, 5-time rule. It's not good enough to say it once. If you mean it, go back. Who's adopted it? Who hasn't? Why not? Let's do it. Then they take it seriously, just like you are right now. You're like, okay, I've heard this idea twice now. I'm going to do it.
We'll keep it coming.
Well, it's just, you know, if it's a good enough idea, I want to make sure you do it.
No, it's one of those things that just slaps you in the face. You know, it's like that's the most common sense thing you could do. You know, it's.
And that's the crazy thing about supernova. Most every single thing about supernova is just pure common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But
really
common sense isn't so common.
It's amazing. It truly is staggering sometimes when you sit back and think about it.
Right.
You know, why wouldn't everybody do this?
And that's how you get $1 billion, Derek. You don't get there by hitting 12-cent stock. You get to manage $1 billion 1% at a time. Just keep getting better.
Well, we are. We're getting better. No doubt about it.
So, Johnny, my friend that I, my first hire ever at Merrill Lynch, He called me and thanked me for 40 years in the business. And he has $2.7 billion in assets now.
Man, that is incredible.
A life well lived. He lives in a penthouse down on the Golden Mile in Chicago. And he's the sweetest, nicest guy in the world. He called me and said, please come up for my 40th anniversary. I'll have the event anytime you can come. Because you were responsible for hiring me and training me.
It's an amazing thing.
But Derek, that's why we do what we do. That's why you're not just a producer. Mm-hmm. See? Because you like that. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun.
And he was a minority. He was the first Indian ever hired by Merrill Lynch.
So, is he still with Merrill Lynch?
He is. He is.
He is, okay.
He is. It's not the only guy that I've hired and trained from zero to more than a billion either. I can give you a list.
Wow.
Long list.
Incredible.
It's fun. That's why I can't quit. I just have fun. It's just fun. You get those calls, you know? Keep getting the calls. I love it. So I want that call from you guys.
We just went over a billion.
We just went over a billion, Rob.
Yeah. We're at 200 million right now, close to it. So, you know, awesome. When you start to think about it that way, it's like,
okay, you know, right?
We can get there.
Yeah, I started coaching a guy in Louisville, Kentucky. See, that's the part you got to understand. These are not in like Chicago and New York. I mean, Louisville, Kentucky just went over 700 million, brought in 30 million this year and is planning on bringing in 50 million this year. And he's a sole proprietor. And all he does is just listen. I've coached him for maybe 5 years now. And it's just been very coachable, listens, does what I say. I mean, he's smart and he's good, very smart and very good, but he's also 65 and he's not quitting. I mean, he's just as fired up as when he was 40. So,
you know, you have this way of dropping all these nuggets in here all along the way, whether it's coachable or it's this or it's that. You know, Johnny, you don't realize how much stuff. You're good. Thank you.
Well, I love it. Yeah, I want to be that, you know, the best coach in the country ever.
You're good.
Thanks.
Good.
Thanks. Hey.
Okay, Rob.
It takes great clients, you know? It takes great clients. Great talent. You got it. Thanks.
We're on our way. Thank you. See you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks. See you guys.
Bye.